Welcome back to this course on self-care. How do we stay healthy as individuals, as workers in Jesus Christ? How do we maintain a discipleship attitude toward our life? Now, that's what we said the root of the word discipline is in that phrase, spiritual disciplines. Last time we looked at the discipline of prayer that will contribute to your self-care, that will help you in your connection with God to live with a sense of His presence and His power in your life. Now, last time I looked at prayer in particular, but there are other ones. Here's some of the ones that we considered initially yesterday. Prayer. Today I want to look at fasting. Meditation is, as I said, just sitting down and mulling over life. And we talked a little bit about how do you go about doing that, in the prayer study last time. Study. Now, you know, if you're in ministry, you may be studying all the time. I found that I had to, if I was going to be serious about study, I'd have to separate it from the study that I did to prepare a message, although in many ways that is a study and meditation kind of linked as you consider what does God's Word say and how can I present it to people if you're at all in a ministry that does preaching. And so I began to institute some other ways of doing study. You know, for instance, in a concordance, take a word or a phrase like "but God," and look at all the places in Scripture where those two words come together. And it's a fascinating study of a situation where God says something about something in His Word, but God enters the situation, and all of a sudden things change. Like you were condemned, but God in His great mercy. Those are the kind of things that go into study, and you've probably learned some things about that if you're in ministry at all. Journaling is a challenging one. People who like writing tend to choose this one as a discipline. I practiced it at various times, and it's really quite fascinating to go back and see what I felt like 20 years ago and to see what I was going through at that time and how I was handling it. And so most people say journaling, how they handle it, the people that I know, is they'll write down what happens in their day. You know, at the end of the day, they'll reflect, or at the beginning of the next day, they will look at back at the day before. And they'll simply write out what they have done and some of their emotional reactions to it, etc. It can be a powerful way of letting God speak to you because you see where He's working because you didn't see it at the time. And it can be a marvelous thing. Sometimes people will write out their prayers to God. Bill Hybels, who, you know, unfortunately is not an honored name right now in the Christian world, but he wrote a book, Too Busy Not to Pray, that as we get busy in life, and life is busy, right, that sometimes prayer gets shoved off to the side. And so he began a practice of, in the morning, first thing he did is he would go into the prayer closet in his office. He had one built there, and he would write out a one-page prayer to God, and then he would just sit and listen to what God said. I mentioned simplicity last time. A service can be a spiritual discipline. And so how do I get my mind off myself and get it onto other people? That's the clue and that's the secret of service. And sometimes this is self-care. You know, I have three grandsons that live near me. They're 14, 12, and 9. And they're three boys, and they are active boys. But one of the things we said we wanted to teach them was generosity and service. And so we take care of them a couple times a week in the summer, a couple days a week when they're not in school. And so last year, we'll probably do it again, we went to a grocery store near us, and we piled a cart to overflowing, two carts. In fact, we had two or three carts going. And we had a list of things from a ministry in our area that cares for people that are on the edge financially. And they have a food pantry. And so we filled up, started with three carts, consolidated them into two carts, and we spent money that my wife and I had set aside to give, right? And so it was like $300-some. And we went to this ministry, and we met people there and said, we've got some things we want to give to you. And these three boys helped this woman who was volunteering there to set them on the shelves in the right places, carrying bags from the back of my car and putting them on shelves. And on the way home, my one, now 12-year-old grandson said, I feel really good. because he had done something for someone else. And he was able to think about that and reflect on it, and it became a reality to him. So here's a bunch of them and ways that you can choose one or two, or practice one at a time until you feel like you got it, that you realize what this means. Now, a spiritual discipline, here's a graph that just shows you some things. What it is, well, it's something that allows us to place ourselves before God so that He can transform us. What it is not the path itself that produces the change. In fact, for instance, fasting we're going to look at today has to be done to God for His purposes. What it is, it's an encounter with God. It is not laws or commands that we're obeying. It's God's work. It's not our work. It's internal change showing up on the outside. It's not external measurement of who's spiritual or not. Remember the Pharisee and the publican that Jesus talked about, where the Pharisee said, God, I thank you like I'm not other, like other men, like other people. And you know, what was the sign of that? Well, he engaged in these spiritual disciplines, like I pray, I fast, I do all of these things, I give a tenth. He was showing himself better. He thought, well, that's not what it is. It's something that works inside of us. And it's a way of sowing to the Spirit instead of a way of managing and controlling others. And its purpose is spiritual growth. So today, another one I think is going to be most helpful to you in your self-care is fasting. Now, fasting is mentioned often in the Bible. In fact, I was shocked at how often it was mentioned when I started studying this for myself. It's deliberately and making the choice to go without food or without food and water. In fact, the scriptures mention several different kinds of fasts. The normal fast is being without food, not without water, and it usually lasts from sunup till sundown. That's the normal fast. Scripture mentions a sexual fast in 1 Corinthians 6. Paul mentions that idea of withdrawing, husband or wife withdrawing from each other sexually for a while in order that they might pursue God. That's a sexual fast. The absolute fast is a fast that is without food and water. And that's a very difficult fast, and you can't do it for very long. You can do it for a day, maybe, but not real long. The supernatural fast, there are several people in Scripture who have done supernatural fasts. People like Moses, who was up on the mountain 40 days without food or water. Elijah, who on the strength of that food that he was given by the angel, went 40 days, 40 nights, with no other nutrition put in. Jesus, 40 days, 40 nights in the wilderness, confronting Satan. There's the partial fast, restricting your diet or the length of time that you fast. Daniel, right, when he's taken away as a captive and he's going to be groomed to be a leader in the new kingdom where he's brought, he asks for permission to restrict his diet to fruits and vegetables along with his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And what does he ask? Vegetables and water, not the meat, not the wine, not the rich foods that the other people are getting. And God honors that. By at the end of the time, the test period, the steward looks and says, "There, that Daniel and his friends looked better. They were healthier than the others who had been on the king's diet that was assigned to them." So all of these different kinds of fasts are possible. Now, usually, people will do a normal fast, and that is they will restrict food for a period of time. Normally, sun up to sundown, or during the day. So, that's the normal fast. Now, you may be called to one of the other kinds of fasts. That's okay, too. A partial fast can be healthy for you. In fact, there's all kinds of study that intermittent fasting will help your physical health. So this is not just talking about your spiritual health, your physical health as well. And so to assign a day when you feel called by God to fast. Now, when do you do this? Well, when you're asking for personal holiness. When you find something in your life where you're not exercising self-control, you're not exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit, that then you will humble your soul with fasting, as this Psalm 69 says, or Deuteronomy 8, where God is telling them how they can look back at their past. What did God do in that time in the wilderness? He humbled you and fed you. In other words, when you read Deuteronomy 8, God humbled them by not feeding them, and then he rewarded them with food. And then he says, take heed, lest when you have eaten and you're full, this is when you get into the promised land, and your heart will be lifted up, and you'll say, it's my hands, it's my wisdom, it's my gifts that have given me all of this stuff. And so, no, this is what you do in order to humble yourself before God and realize again, he is the giver of every good thing. So when you're looking for personal holiness, you can fast. When you're mourning over the sins of the church, the book of Ezra, on the 24th day of the same month, the Israelites gathered together, fasting and wearing sackcloth and having dust on their heads. They stood in their places and confessed their sins and the wickedness of their fathers. These people were fasting. Why? Because they were grieving what their ancestors had done. Now, when you fast, you can mourn over the sins of the church. As I said last time, there are times I do this. My practice right now is to fast one day a week, a normal fast. And I'm praying for several things, the salvation of my grandchildren. But I'm also mourning as I look at the church in the United States and I grieve over its ineffectiveness with the gospel, that people aren't coming to faith. Churches are closing. After the pandemic, the projection was that 20% of the churches will close in the next 5 years. And I'm grieving over that. And so mourning over the sins of the church or mourning over your own sins to fast will be a response to that. To emphasize the importance of a prayer is a way to fast. You know, for me, the salvation of my grandchildren is a big one. And so I fast to emphasize the importance. Here's just one place that happened in Scripture. In Ezra, Ezra writes, there by the Ahava Canal, the people are gathering. They're ready to start their trip to Jerusalem. They've been given permission to go back. And he says, I proclaimed a fast so that we might humble ourselves before our God and ask him for a safe journey. That's the prayer for us and for our children with all of our possessions. Now, they were carrying a lot of money because the king had allowed them resources, given them resources to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. And he said, I was ashamed to ask the king, verse 22, for soldiers and horsemen to protect us from enemies on the road, because we had told the king that the gracious hand of our God is on everyone who looks to him. But his great anger is against all who forsake him. So we fasted and petitioned our God about this, and he answered our prayer. Fasting emphasizes the importance to God probably, but more probably to us, so that we can see where we're going. Here's another place in Isaiah. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. In other words, fasting is a way for our voice to be heard on high. It emphasizes our prayers. And so we can't just become ornery people, or we better not fast. Daniel 10. Daniel has gotten this vision of the future. And he prays to God for wisdom. In fact, he wants to know what this means. And an angel appears to him, Gabriel, and says, do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you set your mind to gain understanding and humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to him. But the prince of the Persian kingdom, probably a reference to the enemy, resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come. In other words, Daniel has this vision, but he doesn't understand it. And so he prays to God and he fasts. Show me what's going to happen. So to emphasize the importance of prayer, another time to fast is when you want to change God's mind. Now that's something that we don't like to say, right? God's purpose is always going. He never changes his mind. And yet Scripture says that sometimes when we want to emphasize our prayers to God, fasting will help us to say, no, I don't want this, or for someone else. You know, you're praying for somebody to be healed. I've got a nephew right now that he's 51 years old and he's dying of cancer. And I can fast to emphasize my prayer to him because medically it looks like healing is impossible. So where do you see that happening? Jonah, the Ninevites believe God. In other words, Jonah comes and says, God's going to destroy you. 40 days, he's going to destroy this city. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. And what happened? When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. You remember, Jonah wasn't too happy about that because these were the enemies of Israel. But it was a fasting, it was their humbling themselves before God that made God say, okay, I'm going to withdraw my hand. I am not going to destroy you. He looked at the violent people that the Ninevites were, the cruel people that the Ninevites were to the people they conquered. And he said, no, you know what? I'm going to make a difference here. And I'm going to change that declaration that I'm going to destroy you. And instead, I want you to draw near to me. And we don't know how long that lasted. Nineveh was destroyed eventually. But for this time, this changed God's mind. Jeremiah, God is speaking to the nation through Jeremiah. He said, if at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down and destroyed, and if that nation I warn repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. Isn't that fascinating? And so I can fast and pray for Ukraine and emphasize and strengthen my prayers for the war that's going on there to be ended. Here's another one from 1 Kings. Ahab is hearing the judgment of God from the prophet. And when Ahab heard these words, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, and fasted. He lay in sackcloth and went around meekly. And then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite. Have you noticed how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he has humbled himself, I will not bring this disaster in his day, but will bring it in the days of his son. And then, of course, for David, after he had sinned with Bathsheba, God predicted a disaster, the death of the son that had been conceived in their adultery with David and Bathsheba. But after Nathan had gone home, the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife had borne to David, and he became ill. David pleaded with God for the child. He fasted and spent the nights lying in sackcloth on the ground. The elders of the household stood beside him to get him up from the ground, but he refused. He would not eat any food with them, and he answered all the but then the child dies. And David is informed. He said, while the child was still alive, I fasted and wept. I thought, who knows? The Lord may be gracious to me and let the child live. But now that he is dead, why should I go on fasting? Can I bring him back again? I will go to him, but he will not come return to me. So another time to fast, to change God's mind where something's going a direction that you think maybe he will. Fasting is a way to emphasize that prayer for us and for God that we're really serious. When to fast? When asking for personal holiness, mourning over the sins of the church, to emphasize the importance of a prayer, to change God's mind, and for revelation. Again, Daniel. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting, and in sackcloth and ashes. Fasting becomes part of that prayer. God, give me revelation of what you're doing. Acts, after they'd gone a long time without food, Paul stood before them. This is in the storm, right? They're on their way to Rome. They get in the storm, and they end up on the island of Malta. But after they'd gone for a long time without food, Paul stood before them. And men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourself this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of the God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, stood beside me and said, don't be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. The fasting produced knowledge. To buffet the body. In other words, this is a kind of fast where Paul says, I buffet my body when I realize that I'm leaning toward sexual sin, or I'm leaning toward, you know, watching the wrong stuff on TV or on my computer, or I'm leaning toward overeating. I'm leaning. Those kind of things. Fasting will help us buffet the body. Now, I have not mentioned in the book of Acts, there is just a ton of scripture in the book of Acts that mentions fasting. It's while they're praying and fasting that God says to the church, the Spirit says to the church, set aside Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. It was fasting that was part of that process where God reveals his will about them. It's with fasting and prayer that they send them off. They lay hands on them in that time of fasting and prayer and send off Barnabas and Saul, now soon to be renamed Paul. They fast and pray when they're going to establish elders in each city. Fasting is part of that. God revealed to us the right people to challenge for this very important role of elder in the church. Fasting and praying. There's fasting and praying that happens everywhere. It is a powerful, powerful discipline for your self-care. Well, I'm coming to the end of this class now. I could go on for weeks. I encourage you to go to Christian Leaders Institute and check out all the wonderful opportunities there are there for your own personal development and your spiritual development. And there are classes there on almost all of the various spiritual disciplines. I want to encourage you also to pass on what you have learned. Too often we are people who learn something and hopefully we get enriched by it, but others haven't heard it. Like I said, I never learned to pray. I saw my mother praying, but it was just assumed that I would kind of take that in, right? Where and with whom can you share this information? What kind of situation can come up? What kind of people do you work with in the ministry that you're part of? Where can you tell them about trying out some spiritual disciplines, about how you're learning to manage your time, about how you're learning to set goals, smart goals in your life and achieve them? Where can you share this information so that others can benefit and the kingdom of God move on? That's what it's really about, right? It's not just about you or me in our self-care. It's about the kingdom and what God is doing to build the kingdom in us and then through us. And so I wish you great blessings as you serve in ministry. I hope that God will, as a result of considering these various things in this course, enrich you, build you up, and make you more effective in your work for him, so that people will come to faith, so that poor can be helped, so that the hurting can be healed, so that God's kingdom may be built where you are, because he only builds his kingdom through us. Blessings to you in the name of Jesus, Father, Son, Holy Spirit.